You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A day of absolute chaos at Hampden, but Celtic eventually make their way to the Scottish Cup final after going the long way round by beating Aberdeen on penalties at Hampden Park. This is Tino, the day after, or the morning after, the night before, joined here by Paddy for the Final Whistle Show. Paddy, have you ever seen anything like it in all your time watching Celtic?
First of all, I think over the moon to be through to a final, but I'm sure we'll dive into it a little bit more. Just such a bang throw game. I really thought that the amount of times I thought we were well in control, and then just moments of madness with some of our players yesterday. Not one for the heart, certainly not one for the head this morning as well. I think I drank my way through it last night.
Yeah, do you know, it sounds like your nerves are shredded and have been since, I don't know, some point early afternoon yesterday. We had a wee chat before coming online, Paddy, and I'm very keen to get your take on it. So you were at the game and I wasn't, and I'll explain how I watched the game. I'm currently in Lisbon, and I'll get to all of that just shortly. But you were there at Hampden, you know, going through the ups, downs, everything else in between. But my overall feeling post-match is that there seems to have been a very mixed response to ultimately reaching a cup final, which was the objective at 12 o'clock yesterday, and we've managed to get there. My general take is that, yes, there's concerns, there's some Liam Scales stuff going on, there's some issues on the wings, there's James Forrest played a huge part, but should we be at that level, you know, at this stage, you know, at 2024? But ultimately, for me, it's all about getting there. We got there, and I'm kind of like, we can sort all the other things out in summer, because you can't change your personnel now. There's not a whole lot you can do there. Mm-hmm. You need to work with the tools you've got, or certainly Brendan Rodgers does. But what's your own take? Are you concerned? Are you anxious about what lies ahead in the remainder of the season? Where are you at in general?
Listen, I think I would say anxious is not a bad word to describe it, in the sense of there's an excitement there. There's nerves there, absolutely. I think what we've seen last week in terms of the drop points for Rangers has given us a lot of confidence. But ultimately, the performances this season we've known haven't been the strongest. There's just been a real lack of consistency in how we're playing. We're going through maybe four or five games of solid performances, and then out of nowhere, a stinker comes in. And I think yesterday was just one of those days. For me, a cup semi-final, I'm not reading too much into it. I think Aberdeen had nothing to lose. They threw everything at us, and they get right in our faces yesterday. I actually thought that they managed the game pretty well. And it was poor defending that really kind of cost us losing that lead, but also poor decision making from the front as well. And I'm sure we'll come on to that. But I'm not worried. I think that it's a nice wake up call again, which we've had many of this season. And I think a few questions have been brought up to the manager after that performance yesterday as well. But I'm still confident going forward, and it takes real character to go in and go win a penalty shootout as well, in my opinion. And I thought that ultimately, yeah, we're in the final. Amazing. was a 61st final, Scottish Cup final, I heard yesterday.
Yes,
incredible achievement. So just go and do it, boys. You know, I've said this many times, the two trophies are there for Celtic if we want it. And you can see, for me, it's like a 60 to 70, 40 to 30 split of the players that know what it takes and those that are kind of riding along and seeing what it takes. I think you can definitely see the nerves kicking in some of the guys at the moment.
Maybe so. And this is for your big leaders. We repeat this often, don't we? Your Callum McGregor's, your Joe Harts. And we'll get to Joe Hart shortly. What a day he's had. Cameron Carr-Vickers, an interesting day for him. Let's just touch on that right now. I think it's one of the very, very few games in a Celtic shirt where there was some concerns from the off, actually. You know, from the first goal, I thought he was poor. I thought his positioning was wrong. And he just had a bit of an off day. But, Paddy, I think given what he's given to Celtic in the last two and three quarter seasons, that's okay and that's football sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, as much as we're saying he was kind of off it for the goal, he's expecting the ball to go in that channel that he's facing. And it's an incredible pass. A really clever pass from Leighton. And I think, you know, it's a very good, well-worked goal from Aberdeen. And something that Celtic should have been doing a lot more of as well is coming in that middle area to try and get in behind. Aberdeen showed how to do it in the first, what, 5 minutes of the game. So very, very good goal from them. And actually, we can say bad defending, but sometimes you just have to appreciate a really, really good pass. And I think that's what it was for me.
I'm all for that as well. You know, actually based on what we do, you know, as the show here, sometimes we'll decipher goals to the nth degree and try and find a fall guy and somebody to blame. And I've loosely suggested Carr-Vickers at fault. But actually, I'm the same as you. My overriding feeling is it's just a very good goal. They've maybe caught us cold by being so clinical at such an early stage. But sometimes you need to just say, it's a decent goal, but there's a whole lot of minutes left to go and make up for it. And eventually we're done. So, Paddy, just in terms of the bigger picture before we start cutting through the lineup and the blow-by-blow of the game, you're absolutely spot on with the start. I think we're now going to be playing our 61st Scottish Cup final. I spoke in the pre-match about the Scottish Cup being 150 years old and the special relationship Celtic have got with it. And I suppose that's been enhanced by yesterday, albeit not all good, but it's a hell of a game for anyone to be involved in. We've won the Cup 41 times. I wonder, and I'm just asking the question here, over the years, so Celtic have been at Hampden plenty, you know, quadruple trebles in very recent history. Do people really remember and really care about semi-finals in the bigger picture? You know, just thinking yourself, looking back the way on those quadruple treble finals, do you really remember the semis that well, or is it really just about getting... Semi-finals are usually turgid affairs, 1-0s, 2-1s, scrappy games. We've been involved in a hell of a game yesterday, but actually, as I said at the top of the piece, is it all about getting there and we then let the final take care of itself? How much do people really remember or really care about semis?
Oh, no, listen, I see where you're coming from on that. I just think that we still can't take away from some of the frail side of our play yesterday. And listen, the more I think about it as well... We speak about it being a cup game. It's totally different. We're not playing against a team sitting in for 90 minutes. Aberdeen came out more than one occasion yesterday, and I think a testament to their midfield three as well. I think they made it really difficult for us. I don't base the league on those kind of games at all. I don't base our form on those kind of games at all. I think the better team wins the game on the day, and I think that both teams, for me, deserve to win yesterday. I really do. I think that I thought that Aberdeen really, really stood up against what we were trying to do and never gave in. But we were clinical at points as well. We were very clinical, and we probably had a few more chances as well that we should have buried. Ultimately, I think a fair result in the end for Celtic and through. I really do.
Yeah, do you know, my dad was saying after a game, he says, I kind of feel sorry for Aberdeen. I'm like, calm down, Liam. But I get where he's coming from, because two sides went hell for leather. I think you've got to give huge credit to Aberdeen. And I think we, easy with hindsight, but you know, you've got to be aware of the team that have got nothing to lose. Their focus now, it's been a hell of a season for them. Their focus really is staying clear of relegation, and building for what will come under Jimmy Tellin, the new manager who's been announced there. Credit to Peter Leaven. You know, he's taking temporary charge just now, and he comes out of that, you know, doing his own personal stock as a coach, a manager, no harm at all, because he got his team back into a game when they looked dead and buried. and they gave their absolute all for him. And then it is the lottery of penalties. So I wouldn't quite go as far as saying I feel for Aberdeen, but they gave their absolute tank on the day. Paddy, let's take it back to the start. So we always talk about the lineup. Myself, you and James spoke pre-match on Friday about what we thought it was going to be. We were more or less there, but you were keen to see Mike Navrotsky keep his position, the centre of defence. Again, we might be looking at this now with a bit of hindsight, but what do you think of that change? And beyond that, the wingers that Brendan Rodgers went with?
Listen, I think it's rewarding loyalty, I think, for Liam Scales to be in the lineup, rewarding a full season of football that he's played for us. Rodgers seems to think that we've got enough in the tank to rely on the back line with him in it for the remainder of the season. So we have to support that. Obviously, we've seen two of the goals yesterday that were, you know, he was largely included in and could have done a lot better, in my opinion. But I don't think he's the only one to blame, and I know we'll come on to that as well. He's a packs to the wall kind of defender. He's not a ball-playing defender. I think we've spoken about that. He's had glowing reports in European games, as I've said before, because he's been up against it. He's a last man kind of defender. But at points yesterday, it looked as if he was almost about to run in at Carter Vickers when the ball was coming in. He just looked a little bit... He was going for Carter Vickers' lead, but just wasn't reading it well at all. Gave me a lot of concerns. We just need to wake up in these moments, because if he is going to start, we just need to also remember as fans, we need to try and support. It's frustrating. I'm not going to lie, it is frustrating watching some of the performances just now, because I do think it's getting to him. But the concentration needs to be there from all of them. And I think yesterday's a bit of a wake up for them. I really do.
And I think someone in the comments, I think it was potentially Colin Rodgers there, was saying that there was folks far worse than Liam Scales, you know, or Liam Scales wasn't alone on the day. And I agree with that. And I repeat this because none of us come on the show looking to criticise players. We'd far rather say 11 guys were brilliant and the subs that came on were brilliant. But you've got to say what you're seeing. And I think at the moment, Scales is coming in for a bit of stick. But that sounds strange in a game that you've won and you've gone to a final. I don't think anyone really played particularly well for Celtic. It's hard to pick out a man of the match. Joe Hart was certainly involved at key times, but it's hard to pick out anyone. So sometimes it's easy to go for Liam Scales, and maybe we, or at least I, fall into that trap at times. But the one concern for me was, I think Liam Scales, including yesterday, has played something like 39 games for Celtic this season. Yesterday kind of looked like his first. It looked like it was the first time him and Carter Vickers had played together. All of a sudden, and I know they've not been together for all of those 39 games, but they've been together for a chunk of them. And I think the incident you mentioned there, where Liam Scales has come into Carter Vickers' area for the header that led to a huge chance, I think, for Soccer, or Hoylett maybe, at one point. We just looked all at sea. But as a concern, and it also raises the question, what do you do now? Do you stick or twist as Brendan Rodgers? Because it's clear that Liam Scales is his favoured centre-half. And where would a Stephen Welsh or a Mike Navrotsky be if you pitched them in next week against Dundee, for example? He's got a call to make there, hasn't he, Paddy? And it's a big one.
It's a big one, but I just think it's too late to really mess about with it now. I do. I think you're putting so much pressure on the player that you bring in. You know, this is you for the next five games, or six if you play the final. You know, you've got that weight on your shoulders. Now, I know, like, for me, I think Navrotsky would be biting your hand off to play. I really do. And I said last week, you know, I thought he looked very comfortable in the hour that he played. Didn't do anything out of line at all. And we keep a clean sheet, you know. We keep a clean sheet. And that's the last, two games Scales been involved in. Six goals conceded. So there's something in it. I'm not putting it all on him. Absolutely not. I think, you know, as we've said, I don't think anyone really stood out yesterday. But there's definitely something in it. Again, the left-hand side of Celtic were targeted yesterday. We weren't bringing the ball out. And when we were, they were giving Scales all the time in the world with the ball, marking any player that the ball could get played out to. It's a deliberate tactic from teams.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens, Tino. I don't. It's not fair on him. It's not fair on the guy at all. I take nothing away from what he's done. But we're waiting on them. I thought that was two errors yesterday. But I also thought that for me, the two deliveries from Junior Hoylett could have been closed down. I thought Alistair Johnson just kind of backed off, didn't really want to take him on. This is a guy that's older than him, a clever footballer, Hoylett, older than him, he's not quicker than him. Go and meet him. And he didn't want to twice, and he got two great crosses in. So I don't think it's just Steele's at blame for the goals, no.
No, I agree with you. So Frank Kennedy in the comments says exactly that. Paddy Hoylett's crosses for Aberdeen's goals were class. Am I right in saying that him and Alistair Johnson are international teammates at Canada?
Yeah, they are.
So they should know each other inside out. And do you know what? Rule number one as a fullback, stop the cross. Get close and stop the cross. And if he does some real trickery and gets it by you, fine. Hoylett didn't have to work too hard to get onto his right and left foot for those crosses.
That's what I'm meaning. I just didn't see the effort to try and close it down. And I know, listen, it's easy me turning around and saying this as a supporter. I get it. The tensions are pretty high. Late on in the first 90 minutes it's happening, and then late on in the second period of extra time. I totally understand that side of it, but it's very basic defending, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, he's a right-footed player. He's going to shift it on his right as soon as he can. Just be ready for that. That's when you move in for the tackle. And I just thought it was just too lazy from Johnston. Taking nothing away, I agree. Take great crosses, absolutely brilliant crosses. But then there, it looked as if Scales was just ball watching instead of looking at his man. And you also see Greg Taylor coming in, lost his man as well. It's what we've wanted to get fixed for a long time, and it just still seems to be the issue. And that's the little concerns for me going forward into the running. But
yeah, and I don't think you'll be alone in that. I think just that left hand side of our defence between left centre half and left back, good at times and capable at times, certainly domestically, but sometimes on occasion we'll get caught out, and we're starting to see a wee bit of that. We've gone a wee bit ahead of ourselves, Paddy. So in terms of the, I'll try and keep it as chronological as I can. We've spoken about Aberdeen's first goal, caught his cold, Majorski doing generally what he does, talented striker. Yeah. I maintain Celtic should have gone in for him, and he'll potentially move on to pastures new in the summer. And Aberdeen will rightfully command a big fee. I think they've got him tied down in a decent contract. And I think he's a talented guy. And at 24, he can only get better. But he's taken his goal well, and it puts you in the back foot immediately. How do you think Celtic responded in the gap between that opener and then Kuhn getting the equaliser?
I actually thought we'd done pretty well at that point. We got our foot on the ball a bit more, spread the play a little, and you seen from them getting that goal, Aberdeen retreated into their own half. They were quite happy just to soak it up for a little bit. But where they met us and where the real battle was, as I said, I thought the midfield was a very interesting game. And, you know, a couple of times you're looking at Hatate, you're looking at O'Reilly, and sometimes you're like, guys, you're not going to get that long on the ball here. So it took them a little bit of time to wake up to that. I did think that they eventually got there, and I did think that we were worthy of our goal, even though it came from a mistake. I thought that we were really starting to turn up the heat against them. I didn't feel worried when we went 1-0 down. I thought, right, there's obviously plenty of time. I just thought, right, just we need to make sure that we get into a bit of a rhythm, and I thought we did that. I thought we did that pretty well.
Yeah, and I think the equaliser was justified. You're right, you know, it's come from high pressing from Kyogo. Is it Angus McDonald, the captain of Aberdeen? Just dilly-dallying. There's no foul. You'll see the suggestions online that it's the same as the foul by Dessers on Lager Bielka. Dessers on Lager Bielka in the season. Nothing like it. Kyogo just pickpockets him. I thought it was a wee bit slow in getting his shot away, and is it Gartman that get in and made the block? But Kuhn's doing what all good wingers and attacking players should do by following up, and it's quite a cool finish just to roll it into the net. There's a very decent comment by San Fran Celtic, good friend of the show, and he says that we missed Maeda Bigley. I'm not sure if Bigley's a word, San Fran, but we'll get to that. But we missed Maeda Bigley against a team that didn't sit in. He covers up a lot of defensive weakness on our left hand side. I think you say that a lot, Paddy, don't you? It's not just about Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. There's the industry of Dyson Maeda up and down that left, which very generally makes Taylor's life a whole lot easier. What do you think of the loss of Maeda in a game like yesterday?
Yeah, I think it kind of leaves Greg Taylor in no man's land, to be honest. I'm not going too heavy on Yang. I'm not seeing it at all, you know, from him. And I thought that he just looked a little bit lost in yesterday's game. Don't think he really wanted to try and take anyone on. kept it safe in possession. Whereas Taylor's the kind of player that will play the ball in behind and look for Maeda to kind of run on to. He can then kind of get up with him and support him, do the overlap if needed. And he just didn't. Taylor seemed stuck in the left back position yesterday without any movement. And then again, a lot of the times he was hugging the byline, waiting for a quick pass out to the back, and he wasn't getting that too. He cut a very frustrating figure yesterday. And actually, I thought he'd done pretty well against Duke in the first half. I thought Duke was basically clearly instructed to get yourself down. Anytime you feel contact, get down, we'll get the ball into the box. And I thought that Taylor played it pretty well. A couple of times seen the referee just basically like waving it on, but you knew what Duke's antics were going to be for the first half. So I don't think it was a great performance for Greg Taylor. I think he would have probably wanted to get up the park a bit more. And when he did, I thought the times he was up there, his delivery was pretty poor as well. He does miss Maeda. I think Celtic will always miss Maeda, especially in games where teams come out against us as well.
I think you're right. And just in terms of Yang, let's have that chat just now. So again, we spoke in the pre-match. This isn't hindsight. You were saying James A. Forrest might be the option here. You were quite keen for him to start. And
yeah,
based on what we've now witnessed there, it's not a bad suggestion at all. I was keen on Yang to play. And listen, there's loads of comments coming in about Yang, mostly negative, and I completely understand them. I think the guy's got talent, but I think he is the ultimate confidence player, as a lot of wingers can be. And we've certainly seen, I think, in more than flashes, what he's got to offer. And I keep repeating myself about the Tynecastle sending off really disrupted him at a time when he was starting to find his best form in a Celtic shirt. But I've also got to concede that he's not rediscovered that. But I do think there's something in it, and I would maybe ask for patience for him, because I do think there's something to come. But whether that's now across the rest of this year, Paddy, or do we need to park that for now and go back to basics, back to James Forrest that we who's tried and trusted, and maybe we build on Yang for next year. I'd be really keen to hear any further thoughts in the comments on Yang, and also who anyone watching live thinks or would put forward for their man of the match. I'm not sure, and as I mentioned to Paddy, we're not entirely convinced. Maybe Joe Hart, maybe Matt O'Reilly, and folks will disagree with that. So let us know in the comments who you think for man of the match. But yeah, Paddy, James Forrest, you made a case for him on Friday, and ultimately it may have been the right call.
I think so. I don't think there was anything wrong in him coming on at that point in the game as well. As we've seen, he only had an hour on his legs. I think still just obviously not playing enough football lately is probably not helping that at all. But I generally thought that he changed the tempo. He's a lot more direct, cutting in a lot more. And just for me, brought a bit of life, but brought a bit of belief to our attacking side. It's a very good goal. I was talking to the guys about it. They're saying that the keeper's poor. I just think it's a really good finish. I really do. I think he's bent it around him, and he's not always known for a placed finish. James Forrest is more a bit of power behind it, but I just thought it was a lovely, lovely finish from him.
James is getting a lot of credit since the final whistle yesterday, Paddy. You know, least of all from Miff. Miff absolutely loved him. Miff started the Build a Statue campaign at some point around about tea time last night. He's a huge fan, and so many Celtic supporters are, I think, by and large, almost universally appreciated for what he's achieved in a Celtic shirt. Yeah. But some people now in 2024 fall somewhere in the middle in terms of what kind of impact James should have on the first team. But he's proven it again yesterday. He was delighted when he got his goal, and rightly so. And it is a good finish. He's cut inside, and I think he's used the last defender just to kind of bend it round and give the keeper a headache. I thought the keeper was a wee bit sketchy, but he's placed it very well. And at that point, Paddy, so again, we've skipped ahead, but that's okay. You know, you're one each half time. James Forrest comes on, I think, in the 62nd minute and scores in the 63rd. He can't do much better than that. And as I say, and I'm keen to hear your own thoughts from being at the game, Paddy, when James scores that, do you think, right, okay, it's been a wee bit topsy-turvy, but we can just calm down now and take control of this game? And I think for the next 20-ish minutes after that, we did take control.
Yeah. I think we actually created some good chances and never took them. A couple of times as well, just like I think of the one we passed too many times, and then with the time, I think it was Ida got the shot away. It was just too late, and great tackle for I think from McKenzie from them. But a couple of times you're like, just put your boot through it. I think Awata was the one. Awata actually thought done all right when it came on. Thought he kind of showed us up a wee bit. But yeah, just we seemed pretty wasteful in the second half with all that possession. We didn't really do much with it, and when we got into the right areas, it was the wrong decisions. Strange one.
So as I say, that 63rd minute where James Forrest settles things down at least temporarily. We've gone and made our after subs after that. So Forrest came on at the same time as Awata, and Yang goes off and Callum McGregor goes off. Callum McGregor was reasonable, but he's not at his fit and fire and best, Paddy, and I think we can all agree with that. But he will come back. 60-odd minutes in the legs is just all part of his recovery, and we'll see where he fares for the next one. Then after the goal, so it's Ida comes on for Kyogo, and a fair bit late in proceedings, around about 86 minutes, Palmer and Bernardo come on for Kuhn and Hitati. Around about the 70th minute, though, it's Hoylett that comes on. I think he's a journeyman, Paddy. Is it fair to say that? He's kind of bumped around in his career in the Championship, Reading, Cardiff, QPR, Blackburn. He's been around the block, and he showed all his experience, and actually, you could certainly suggest he was the game changer for Aberdeen at that time.
Yeah, he has had some career. I remember there was high hopes for him when he kind of broke onto the scene, but he's never really kind of lived up to that. And I think the Championship has just been his level. But he showed his experience, absolutely. I'd seen one of the guys commenting there. He was actually a left foot and a right foot cross, so I couldn't remember that. Sorry, I think that was the beer kicking in. But it just shows you he's a tidy footballer when he wants to be. And two very good crosses. I'm taking nothing away for that. I just think we could have dealt with it a lot more. And obviously the goal that we're coming up to, the one he gets the cross in from, another fault for that for me was obviously Louis Palmer. Trying to play that pass in the middle of the park. I don't know what he was up to. I think everyone's seen the chance, everyone's seen the break, including himself, but he was 3 seconds off the boil with it, and then he still tries to play the pass after Aberdeen will get back in. And listen, that's just naivety. I think more games, understanding of the game, understanding the importance of the game, you learn that that's not the way to do it. But it definitely came back to bite us.
The Louis Palmer situation, again, I'm watching on telly, you're at Hampden Park. When he was trying to execute that pass, it was the right pass to make, but you've got to be sure of it. You know, I think it was potentially a 3-on-3, 3-on-4 type situation. You know, I need to watch it back to be sure. But all he has to do is get some height on it and lift into that left-hand corner and let Celtic flood forward. Actually, he could have done anything except what he did do, and you'd have been okay with it, even if he'd have just put it in the right-hand corner, just played into a space and got us out at a time when we were under a wee spell of pressure. And I often watch games, whether in person or on the telly, and then you see a mistake like that. I feel the same way I did this when Callum McGregor gifted possession at Ibrox. You just think, is that going to come back to haunt us in 30 seconds or so? And lo and behold, it did. But what a time, you know. What a frustration, Paddy, because you think you're just about home and hosed, and in the 90th minute, Aberdeen get the equaliser and you know you're headed for extra time. How do you feel at that point in proceedings?
I thought it was criminal from as we say, Palmer. We look at again, I would say Johnson needs to get closer. And then just back post, just it shouldn't happen. For me, with the Palmer thing, I think you're right. I think the pass is on, but his first touch has totally let him down. I don't think there should have been a first touch. I think he tries to play it as soon as on the swivel if he needs to. But a guy that's just not been playing as well, a guy that's not been playing enough, he's not into the rhythm of it. And yeah, I just think that touch, and then to think, right, I've still got the time to do this. And actually, he's not had the confidence in himself to play the pass. Take the touch, realise the moment's gone, and keep control of the ball. Minutes away from going through, and yeah, I think a few of the players will remind him of that. I really do. I don't think he'll get away with that one.
And nor should he. Listen, it's a tough learning curve for him, but you've got to learn. And the same as, you know, Yang having made his mistake at Ibrox for 3-3, these are the things that you need to respond to as a footballer. And you can go one or two ways. You can shrink into yourself and feel sorry for yourself, or you can take it on the chin and improve yourself moving forward. Just before we kind of close out on the 90 minutes of action before moving into extra time and penalties, obviously a lot of fingers getting pointed at Liam Scales, potentially Greg Taylor, because it's that back post area where we concede. Should Joe Hart be coming out, Paddy? You're goalies union, right? You played goalie back in the day. Should he be coming claiming what ultimately ends up being a header from 4 or 5 yards?
I see where you're coming from. For me, it shouldn't be one goalkeeper coming out, crowded area almost in a sense, and trying to claw up. Your defender, for me, should be dealing with that one, with it being at the back post. Anything in between the sticks, anything in the 6 yard box, absolutely fine, but it's travelling way too far back, and I think your keeper doesn't need to come out to the left, doesn't need to come out to the right. I just think that it's, I wouldn't blame Hart. I can see the argument. I can understand why people would think that, but for me, that's your centre-half's ball night and day.
Yeah, okay. So we now move into extra time. I'm sure of real anxiety, and it is, I mean, take the Celtic hats off for a minute. It's the joy of competitive sport, isn't it? It's kind of why we're all in it. San Fran's made another comment, in the comment box about it being a classic cup tie, and it's more enjoyable than winning at a canter. Yes, now, but that you're going through the ringer there. But that is football. That's sport, Paddy. And listen, when did Celtic ever do it easy as well? There's lots to be said for that. But in terms of being in the here and now, and again your experience at the stadium, you must have been feeling all sorts of emotions as you had it in extra time, because you had it in your grasp. You were just about up the road, and then you need to set yourself in for 30 more minutes. How were the players feeling at that time? They've put a lot into it. And keeping in mind, Celtic have taken a lot of creative threat out the team by then. Kyogo's off, Kuhn's off, Yang's off, Callum McGregor's off, and somebody else that will come back to me. But there's a lot of creative all of a sudden out of that team, Hatate. A lot of creative out of that team all of a sudden, and you've got 30 minutes to go. Were you confident at that stage?
When we went to extra time, I still thought we would have more in the tank than what Aberdeen would have. I think having had so much control of the ball and then just really turning it off for the last 5 minutes of that game, really allowing Aberdeen to start the presses. And even then, when they were pressing us, I still felt that we looked pretty comfortable. Just a silly mistake, just error after error leading up to it. I could see the players, a lot of them did look down. I looked at Palmer, I looked at Scales, and I looked at Greg Taylor, and I could see that the heads were down. But what I thought was brilliant was the first guy that got on the park to try and console his teammates, in the sense of just try to gear them up again, was Callum McGregor. He made a beeline for them just to get that arm around them and basically say, come on. We know that we can go and win this game. And I've seen that from a few of them as well. Like, I thought our touchline yesterday, I thought everyone was well in it. Everyone was well in its support. I know we'll come on to the penalties, but we had a brilliant view of Stevie Woods. He was basically standing with his books every time an Aberdeen player was going up. He would point up to the right, I'd point up to the left, but he's going to go here, he's going to go there. I don't think he got one right, but it was a team collective. Just watching them all kind of go through the motions of that was pretty impressive as well.
It's some top secret coding system there by Steve Woods. There's no nod and winks and secret signals. It's just that's going left and that's going right. But we'll get to the penalties just shortly, Paddy. But I think you make a great point there about the togetherness of the team. I think it was Matt O'Reilly speaking after the game, and one of the first things he says, we're all in this together, there's a real tight group. And some people, mostly from outside the Celtic camp, but some fans like to suggest they're not behind the manager and stuff like that. I don't think that could be further from the truth. Mm-hmm. Brendan Rodgers doesn't escape criticism for yesterday, and we'll get to some of that as well just shortly. But between Callum McGregor and Brendan Rodgers, they are the guys that I want to be in the sidelines as you head into extra time, as you head into a penalty shootout, to just calm the nerves and give the players the benefit of their experiences over the years. We get ahead. It's just at the end of the first period. James Forrest involved heavily again. Gets it in Alistair Johnson, who finds Matt O'Reilly. Cool finish under pressure. Obviously it opens out for him. It's a real chance. But some guys can snatch at that, Paddy. He's seen the gap high into the net, and he's shown all the composure that we've come to expect from him to tuck it away. So I'll ask you again, as earlier on, did you think at that point we were home and hosed?
100%. You know, I thought that that would have deflated them. We were in cloud nine at that point. A very well worked goal. Again, just what's been pivotal in this running is the right side coming to life again for me. It's been a massive factor, and we're scoring a lot more. Kyogo's a lot more involved. But that's what you want for your midfielders, whether it's Atai or Riley or even Iwata or Callum McGregor. You want them getting into that space. And I listened to Matt O'Reilly's comments after the game, and he was talking about great conditions, he says, but the park, he says, was really, really dry. So he says it gets bobbling. And it bubbles up in front of him. And just to slot it home with that, I just think it's a great finish. I really do. It just epitomises that guy's kind of calm, cool, collected head that he's got as well. It was a great goal. And a guy that was in and out of the game. I know he got mad in a match, but I generally thought he was a bit all over the place. But then at points, he was popping up and closing down. Great tackles, great through balls. And then the next minute, he's giving it away. So not just to have that composure and finish it so accurately, just a really good goal.
Yeah. Again, I suppose we don't need to kind of go over the Aberdeen late equaliser too much. It's very, very similar to the second equaliser, or the goal to make it 2-2. It's Angus McDonald that gets in at the back post this time, almost a replica of the previous goal. And I suppose he's made up for his error earlier on in the game, which led to Coon's goal. Paddy, can you understand at that time in the game that mistakes are starting to happen? It's a hot day at Hampden. It's energy sapping. You're 105, 10, 20 minutes into the game at that stage. It's draining mentally. There's a lot of pressure on. There's a lot of expectation. And I know that, you know, we talk about, could you play for Celtic? That's just part of the deal. You have to be able to handle that. But can you understand and appreciate why, for example, Alistair Johnson wasn't able to get out closer to Junior Hoylett, why other guys weren't able to make things happen at a pivotal time in the game?
Aye, I do. I think the occasion, the meaning of it. Seen some incredible tweets today about, like, oh, the league's the most important thing. It's good that we're in the final, though. Don't really care about the cup. I'll never understand that. You want to win everything because you want to be the best team. And for me, you go and win every trophy you can. And the guys wear it. You can tell they wear it. They all look drained at the end of it. They all looked elated when we won the shootout. And just as a collective, these moments are great for them as well. It might feel like a wee bit of a get out of jail card that we've got yesterday. We're winning in penalties, but ultimately they've pushed themselves through. They've got through to another final, and like I say, the guys that have done it, the guys that have been there and they've won everything, they'll just be telling them, this is what it's all about. This is what we need to do. We're in a great place, and all that experience then starts to kick in. You think about it, like, we're talking about, obviously, Callum McGregor, James Forrest. How many trophies could that be? You know what I mean? Like, it's just incredible achievements for both of them. But, like, I think they'll be knocking on the door at Bobby Lennox for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a collective, Paddy, as a group, that's a huge experience and a hugely positive experience overall to come through. You can imagine what the Celtic dressing room would have been like post-match there. And I know the celebrations were fairly kind of muted when Joe Hart made the save, because I think the players accepted that we should have got over the line far sooner. But you get back in that dressing room, if you've ever been part of a team and part of a competitive environment, you can imagine how that dressing room must have been post-match. And what that does is really, really galvanises the group. I think they're all in it together anyway. But yeah, that's further strengthened by winning in such a fashion. And I think that just really, and particularly we speak about Adam Eder and Nicholas Coon, for example, and how they must have felt when the fans gave them that reception heading off to Ibrox a couple of weeks ago. That's all new for them. It's all new in their footballing experience, but certainly new in their Celtic experience. And for all those guys, and then add it to the mix, Yang and even Palmer and guys who weren't at their best yesterday, being part of that's pretty special. There's not a lot of guys that will draw three each in a semi-final, go to extra time and then come through it on penalties. It's one for the books. You know, if you ever, you know, write your footballer memoirs in years to come, that's one that these guys will be reflecting on. But from a really positive sense, with five league games to go and now one cup final, I think that really, really bonds the group. You know, there's things that would have rather gone differently and better at times, but it was what it was. And I think overall, that's a great experience for these players, Paddy.
No, I definitely do. And they'll take so much from it as well, you know. The hard work is, as we've said many times in the last few weeks, the hard work starts now. I think that they probably will feel like, yeah, we should have seen that game over the line yesterday. They'll feel a little bit relieved. But they're there. They're in another final. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. We just need to get behind them, as I thought we all were yesterday. I thought the crowd was great. And I just wanted to kind of keep this momentum going, and hopefully the performances improve. I think next week against Dundee is a very, very tough game. Make no mistakes about it. I think we really need to be on our top form for that game. But they've got a week of feeling high, feeling confident about things, and as you say, good mood in the changing room, and let's just take it game by game.
True, and imagine the buzz going to Lennox Town. I dare say they're off today, they'll go up tomorrow, Monday, and they'll be feeling good. There's a wee spring in your step when you get up there, the sun will likely be shining, and you know that in around about a month's time you're heading back to Hampden to hopefully complete what would be an amazing end to the season for Celtic. We've skipped by the penalties, Paddy, and I want to spend a wee bit of time on them, because Joe Hart's aside, and we'll of course get to that, they're high quality, they're very good executions in a real pressure environment. Of course, the vast majority of the stadium is Celtic on the day. Was it 8,000 or 9,000 Aberdeen fans that travelled and made themselves heard? But there's a real onus, there's a real pressure on the players getting up to take those penalties. Adam Ida steps up first, very cool, does his job. And I'll run through them. Louis Palmer didn't have a great game, had a very decent penalty. Matt O'Reilly, you can trust him with these. Bernardo's was the nervy one, wasn't it? It's nearly been saved by the keeper, but he does enough to get it over the line. So then we step into Aberdeen's fourth penalty. Duncan misses. It hits off the post and fortunately doesn't catch Joe Hart on the way back out. And Joe Hart steps up to take it. What's your take on a goalie taking a penalty, Paddy? So by all accounts, I think Joe Hart and Brendan Rodgers have both confirmed now that it was pre-planned. So they knew ahead of the game if it went to penalties, Joe Hart was taker number five. A lot of folk have suggested, was that an ego move? Is this a bit of being a bit, what's the word, kind of try to create the story because Joe Hart's leaving?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. He's got previous, he's hit a couple of penalties, a really quality penalty that you'll have seen, I'm sure, for Man City back in the day. Ederson hit a penalty for Man City during the week. It's not completely against the norm because these guys, generally speaking, can strike the ball well. I was quite comfy with him hitting it. I've no problem with it, particularly as it was pre-planned. And sometimes guys miss penalties. Luka Modric missed a penalty during the week, and he's been a decent player in his day. Some folks suggested that it was disrespectful to the outfield players. I don't buy any of that. I'm okay with it. I'd far rather he scored that. But players missing penalties is just part of it.
I think you can say, what was that saying? It's disrespectful. I can see the argument, but then I'll also be a question of my... Your outfield players have not said, no, Joe, you're the goalkeeper, I'm taking it. You know, like, I think that's the other side of that. For me, a goalkeeper shouldn't be taking a penalty unless required to come the end. Most footballers in this day and age, especially goalkeepers, are likely to be playing with the ball with their feet a lot more in this modern game. I totally understand that. I think you look at someone like Ederson, very, very comfortable player, could probably play outfield if he wanted.
Yeah.
But there's a total difference. There's just a total difference. I think even you see the way that Joe Hart strikes the ball yesterday, it didn't look natural. It didn't look like a natural finish. And for me, I didn't agree with it. Not in terms of the... I don't care about the writing the story thing. Let him do that if he wants to do that. For me, his job is to save, and thankfully he did. But no, he shouldn't have been doing that, in my opinion.
Fair enough. I think we'll just need to agree to disagree, because I was okay with it, but there's so many folks in the comments that don't. David's made a comment saying that Hart's miss was down to arrogance from Celtic. I disagree. I think he's got every right to hit it, and I also credit anybody, goalkeeper or outfielder, who's brave enough to go and take a penalty. It is not easy. Just in that situation, the expectation that comes with playing for Celtic. And again, I've mentioned it just there. Guys like Palmer and some others here who didn't have a great game, bravery to step up in a pressure environment. But it's not worked out for Joe Hart on that occasion, Paddy. He's had to wait a wee bit beyond. Hoylett then scores his penalty. Alistair Johnson takes a decent penalty. Aberdeen score theirs. And then Iwata hits a very cool penalty, you know, high to the right-hand side. And then it's a young lad. Listen, you do genuinely always feel sorry. It's a lad, Killian Phillips. I think he's an Irish under-21 international. but he stepped up, and Joe Hart has certainly made amends and made himself the hero. These are opportunities for goalies to really shine, I suppose, and he's made the huge save. And I thought he showed very decent sportsmanship. One of his first thoughts was to go to Kelrus. He wanted to go and kind of wish his opposite number all the best. But at that point, from a fan point of view, and I know I've asked you several times today, Paddy, how are you feeling? Is it bedlam at that stage?
Relief, Tino, relief. I just think absolute bedlam, of course. You're celebrating to get through. But I think we were just so... I think there was frustration that we chucked away two leads, and we lost two goals in the final minutes of each of the halves as well. So there was just a total relief that we got through. I thought that when Hart missed, I thought that when it went to penalties, I thought, well, we've messed this up. We've messed this up. I really did. I didn't think we were going to win. Our penalties this season have not been the best. But yesterday, very, very cool, calmly collected penalty takers. And as you mentioned about Alatas, pick of the bunch. And I think, why are you not taking number five? Why are you not taking penalty number five? I don't know. But glad we're through. A game I'll quite happily forget, even though it's a classic. A game it was a Thursday affair, as you say, but the goals were there and the penalties are there and the drama's there. But it's not good for the old heart.
No, absolutely not. Do you know, I'm going to share with you, Paddy, and everyone watching and listening, my own experience yesterday. So, as I mentioned there, I'm in Lisbon at the moment, here with the folks and James from the show, and we'll be doing the Estadio Nacional tomorrow, and we'll hopefully bring guys some footage and different things from there. But in terms of catching that game yesterday, so the situation was, got to watch just about the 90 minutes in the house. Then Aberdeen equalise, and we need to jump in the motor to get to Edinburgh Airport for the flight. So you're listening to the extra time on the radio, like back in the old days, and it's horrendous. Right. You know, when you watch a game, at least you feel that you can make your own assumptions and watch what is going to happen. Yeah. Listening on the radio and waiting on someone else to tell you, it's really quite an anxious experience, and it wasn't much fun. But O'Reilly scores, you think you're good to go, and then Aberdeen scored at the death, and it's going to penalties. The penalties come around just as we get to Edinburgh Airport. We pull into the multi-story car park. We've got it on a dodgy stream on the iPhone. And as the players are stepping up to hit the penalties, it's coming and going. So you're seeing one or two go in. The one where Joe Hart had made the save. And then, let me get my order right. There was basically one. It was a fourth or fifth penalty. And if Aberdeen missed, we were good to go. The Aberdeen player steps up, just about to make connection, freeze. The whole thing freezes. And you're just terrified. And I'm like, and I didn't know what to do. We didn't have the radio on, so we were relying solely on this at this point. It was so nerve-wracking. Then it unfreezes and you realise he's scored and blah, blah, blah. And we've also obviously just talked out about what played out. Aye. But the exact same emotion as you, Paddy. Sheer relief. Aye. Imagine coming to Lisbon, getting put out of the Scottish Cup so on the same day. But sheer relief to get there. And as I said at the top, you know, we can now really look forward to it. You're now in a good place. You've got the potential for a phenomenal end to the season. Mm-hmm. But let's take a step back, look at the bigger picture. There's some concerns from folks now about what these next five league games look like. Somebody suggested strap yourself in for five more games like that. I disagree. I think cup football and league football are very different. I mentioned earlier on the hell for leather approach that Aberdeen took and had to take. They had nothing to lose. I don't think Celtic's league games look like that, but what's your own take, Paddy, on what lies ahead in these final five league games, and also your own assessment of Brendan Rodgers on the day?
Yeah, I think, as I say, there's definite questions being brought up after yesterday's performance. Is that enough to throw doubt into the last five games in the league? No, I do think it is different. I really do. I don't think teams will come out the way that Aberdeen did at points yesterday. I think he's got some big calls for the remainder of the season. I really do. I don't know who he goes with on the left. Nicholas Kuhn seems to be very comfortable on the right, and I don't really want to disturb that. I don't want to upset that at the moment. And I'm just, the big question mark is league scales, Tino. If we want to win this league, you go with your best players. And I don't think he's doing that at the moment.
No time for... I don't know what's the word, favourites or feelings. You just need to go with the best, Paddy. You need to make the tough calls. That's the thing, isn't it? It's the job of a manager, Brendan Rodgers or otherwise. You need to make what might be unpopular decisions, not just with fans, but in your own dressing room. And he has got some big calls to make. How do you think, Paddy, that aside, how do you think he managed the game? Miff, jokingly, you know, delighted with the win. Brilliant, looking forward to the final, / Rodgers out, right? That's kind of Miff's take on things at the moment. And Brendan Rodgers, actually, on a more serious note, I think finds himself in a position where, unless Celtic win 3-0 and comfortably these days, people are always nitpicking at everything. You know, as I said before, the objective was getting to the final, and we've done so. I can't remember ever moaning about getting to a final, but it feels like a lot of folk were griping about it. But I understand, because we know there's still work to be done. We're also keen and anxious to get over the line here. So I do get some people's frustrations there, but ultimately he's done his job there, Paddy. But some folk have questions. So James Forrest gets taken off for Mike Navratsky, for example. Your take on that as a decision?
Well, it just he knows that we've not been closing out games, and I think that for me, I think it's a fine decision. Like, James Forrest is not moving too well. They're lumping balls into the box. Get 3 centre halves on, and it's a great delivery from Hoylett that's led to the goal. I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing Navratsky on yesterday. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think game management, he was probably expecting a bit more for his players in the closing moments of the halves. Some big characters in that team, but also some players that I still think are pretty nervous under it all as well. And
yeah,
they need to learn quickly.
There was a lot of chat about game management being the very term, Paddy, and Brendan Rodgers' game management. But when you're in the heat of the battle, the intensity of that game, and you go into the 89th, 90th minute and concede, is there a whole lot the manager can do at that point if players are getting anxious and nervous and making mistakes and Louis Palma's giving away? The best coach in the world can't stop Louis Palma making that mistake. If an individual wilts under the pressure or makes a mistake they shouldn't be making, is there much Brendan Rodgers can do? Is there anything Brendan Rodgers can do if Alistair Johnson isn't getting close to Junior Hoylett, if Liam Scales isn't covering his back post? I don't think these are coaching points. I think everyone needs to take a collective responsibility, and of course Brendan Rodgers will take the ultimate responsibility. The players on the day, Paddy, have to do their bit. And I just wonder if sometimes it's too easy to say, Rodgers again, why has he done this, why has he done that? And everyone knows I'm on record as a big Rodgers fan, and some will disagree, and that's okay. But I think you've got to, if we're criticising it, and it'll be constructive and healthy criticism for the most part, you've got to be fair and accurate. Don't let your feelings about an individual skew, you know, what you're seeing and what you're saying.
No, absolutely. And listen, I think there's definitely stuff for him to take away from yesterday. I do think that at points, just the way, you know, we kind of set up, we've seen that Aberdeen were trying to flood our midfield and stop us with playing. We didn't want to at any point try and take it through the middle. We kept on going to our wings. And I know that that's been quite the common theme, but you've seen a bit of frustration start to kind of garner from Kyogo again, and O'Reilly and Itati at points were just getting a bit annoyed that it wasn't coming quick enough from McGregor, from Scales, from Carter Vickers. Second half as well, again, a great point we're running through, and Iwata, is that there's a pass on for Kyogo, and he just holds off for it. These are the moments that they should be working on day in, day out, and I just feel that we're not seeing us penetrating the lines the way we used to, especially under Ange Postecoglou. And these are the little moments. I think if we want to go, we're going to come up against many a low block in this run-in. If we want to go and make sure that we're scoring, then this is what we need to kind of focus on for me. And we've got the players to do it. That's the frustrating thing. I think he'll have taken a lot from yesterday, Tino. I think he knows he's got some stuff that he needs to look at. Went straight to the notepad when he equalised at the end of the 90 minutes. I wonder what he was writing.
Yeah, we'll maybe find out someday. But Paddy, overall, you know, again, just purely from a fan point of view, great occasion to look forward to. Sun will be splitting, all going well. 25th of May, special day in Celtic history. We've got that to look forward to next month. As you also pointed out, Paddy, we've now generally got a week between games. I think there is a midweek game in one of the last five, but generally, at least now, you've got a week to regroup, to work on some of those defensive issues and some other concerns that Rodgers will have. But ultimately, you've got a final to look forward to, and that's what it's all about. Quick question. The other semi-final takes place kind of soon, 3 o'clock today, Hearts v Rangers. Who do you want in the final?
I want a Celtic win, you know, that's all.
Don't care. You don't care. I'm all for that. Paddy, I've taken up a lot of your time. We're nearly an hour in on a Sunday afternoon, and it's always appreciated. Likewise, really appreciate everyone that's joined in with the comments. Paddy, I'll come to you for your final comments after, as I say, an incredible afternoon at Hampden Park.
Brilliant to be back yesterday. Brilliant to get the good weather. Finally, some sunshine in Glasgow. My God. Nice to see the weather today for both sets of supporters as well. Hope they enjoy that. I think, as I said, a feeling of relief yesterday. And it's not rocked me too much. I think that this will just be a bit of another reset button in terms of where are we at, what do we need to look at, where do we need to tighten up in. And as I say, has he got some big calls to make? I don't know. I don't know if he'll change anything, Tino. I think that we might see that starting line up for the running. James Forrest showing that he still has a part to play, albeit a game we've said that he's maybe not going to give us 90 minutes, probably not going to be able to do that for the remainder, but he showed real flashes of brilliance yesterday and ultimately massive part in why we're in the final now. So big thanks to him.
Yeah, and as Miff says, get that statue built for James A. Forrest. Paddy, thanks as always for joining us here on a Sunday. Thanks, as I say, to everyone that's joined us here on the live. Some brilliant comments coming in. And we really do appreciate that. It's getting bigger and better with each and every show, so thanks for that. As I mentioned on Friday, Paddy and Miff are taking control of the weekly show on Monday, so that'll be fun and games for the lads. I think Assam's joining them too, so want to look forward to on Monday night. But in the meantime, folks, thanks again for joining us. Have a brilliant weekend. We'll see you again very soon. Podcast Network.